Different things affect different people in different ways. Some of the things that make some people glad make others sad and others mad. But all of us are provoked by something. We're looking at this idea of being provoked today. This morning we look particularly at Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And especially talked about how we need to encourage and exhort and stir one another up in the right way. Now you'll hear this idea of provoke maybe mentioned in different ways. There are those who will say that they get mad. That just makes me so mad I can't stand it. That means they're provoked. There are others say that, and they want to be a little bit, more highfalutin. They say that just gets my righteous indignation up. Somebody else says, that makes my blood boil. Another one, and I sometimes use this one, that just gets my dander up. I suppose dander is short for dandruff. And some of the young people have some other phrases. I'll not go into all of those tonight. But whatever motivates, stirs up, excites, incites, all of this is talking about the idea of provoking. Now, let me share with you a couple things that are a little bit amusing to show you that some things provoke some that do not others. When all our children were at home as teenagers, and we had four teenagers at once, our middle daughter was a little bit overweight. And our son could get her as mad as a wet hen, and you may not know what that means, by just doing this. Never said a word. She knew exactly, she thought she knew at least what he was thinking. She knew what she was thinking. We'd be sitting there, everything fairly normal, and he'd go. That was enough. That same son had the habit of putting his fingers together like this and popping his knuckles, and his hands were such that he could make all of them pop that you could hear it throughout this building. I don't know of anything that excites Judy any more than that. In fact, one day there was somebody else sitting on the seat behind her, and she thought it was Andy, and he did that, and she turned around almost ready to hit him and didn't. Now, neither one of those things bother me a bit. You can do either one of those. It doesn't provoke me at all, but it does some people. Different things provoke different people. I want to ask you the question tonight. What provokes you? You know, anger is not necessarily bad. Prolonged anger is. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. An uncontrolled anger is bad. Be ye angry and sin not. But anger is not always sinful, because Jesus was angry at those who were using the temple in the wrong way. And he even drove those people out of the temple. But he did not let that anger cause him to sin or to have hard feelings or to have the wrong kind of attitude. So it is not necessarily wrong for us to be angry at something. And I must admit to you tonight, there are some things that make me angry. There are some things that make me angry very quickly. And I think some of these we perhaps all share. I want us to think in the first place tonight about a few things that make us all angry or motivate us or stir us up. We can be stirred up by good. We can be stirred up by bad. An example of this is in Acts 17. Verse 16 says that Paul was stirred up when he looked at the city of Athens and saw all the idolatry. But the reason that he'd left Berea and had come to Athens was that the Jews had come over to Berea and had stirred up the people against the gospel and against Paul. So there's the stirring up. There's the provoking. There's motivation used in one case because of something that was bad, idolatry. In the other case, because of something that was good, which was the preaching of the gospel. And so people are stirred up by different things. They are provoked by different things. One thing that easily provokes us and gets us concerned quickly is when we see somebody that's hungry. I don't know of anything that gets my attention much more quickly than that. Being the preacher and living just behind the church building here and having lived fairly close in other places, I've had a lot of experiences along this line of people being hungry, and some of them are con artists, as you well know. But I've had a few experiences where somebody came by that was literally hungry. One man that I remember since I've been living here came by, if I remember, it was on a Saturday. He was stalled here. He was looking for a little bit of gasoline to get somewhere. And when he came by the house, he said, "I'm hungry." Just after Thanksgiving, we had enough in the refrigerator to feed many. That man sat on my front porch in a rocking chair that used to sit there. And I went in. Judy fixed him a big plate of food, and we took it out. He sat there on the front porch and ate that food. When he got through, I said, "Do you want some more?" He said, "I'm afraid to eat anymore. I haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days. I'm afraid to eat anymore at this point." That man wasn't a con artist. He was hungry. We fixed him something to take with him to eat a little bit later. To think about a child that's hungry. When I watch on television some of these programs that are there that show these little children that have been through malnutrition and their little stomachs are swollen, and I know there may be some of those that are used to get money for the wrong reason, but whatever that may be, I can't get those little children out of my mind. Can you? And when we heard about places like Ghana and Poland and other places in the last few years where somebody was hungry, look at all the money that was put together. All of us gave what we could. We sent money by the thousands, in some instances almost into the millions, to buy food and to send to those people. Because the very idea of a hungry child is something that just stirs us up. It gets to us. It provokes us. I've had instances where there were people that I knew that were hungry, and for some reason or other you couldn't feed them, you couldn't help them, and it's hard to go to bed at night and go to sleep realizing that there are people that are hungry. Acts the 11th chapter gives us an example like this. Remember, Agabus came down and told about the famine that was in the area of Jerusalem, and all the people there at Antioch gave every man according to his own ability in order to send help back to the elders to be used there in Jerusalem. What was it that provoked those people to give? It was because they thought somebody was hungry. That turns us on. That gets our attention in a hurry. A second thing that provokes most of us is an abused child or an abused wife. I've not had as many experiences personally along this line as I have on the hunger point. But just to think about some of those where we know that a husband has abused his wife, he's beaten her. Oh, that just provokes me to no end. And especially to think about a little child. Have you seen these little children that they talk about? Not long ago, one in Memphis, where somebody had held cigarette butts to the body of this little child and burned them and hit them over the head so hard that they literally suffered concussions and died because of abuse. I'd have a hard time keeping myself under control if I saw you or anybody else abusing a child like that. I don't know whether I could stand by, even if it is your own child. I don't know whether I could control myself and stand by and let you stand there and hit a child with something over his head, knock him down or abuse his body. And it's awfully hard, even if you see something like that, if a man's abusing his wife, it'd be hard to stand by and let that go on. Because we are provoked when we see things like that happening. In the third sense, we are stirred up when there is sickness and when there's death, especially when there is a tragedy. And here again, I suppose that we're stirred up even more when this affects a child. Let your mind wander back for just a minute to someone that you've known in the past where there was a little child that was so sick and hurting and in pain. And the adults, the mother and the father and others, and even the doctors doing everything that they could, but they just could not meet the needs to take care of that, to where that little child could get well. Oh, I think anybody that would not be provoked by that would be abnormal. And if a child is lost, a few years ago, just a few blocks from where we lived in Tullahoma, there was a family who had a small child, and that child was lost one evening. They didn't find him. He didn't come in to home or didn't come back to the house after he was out playing. And within a few minutes, after the knowledge of that began to go out through the town, within a few minutes, there were 100 people there to start looking for that child. It wasn't long till everybody in the town was doing what they could and looking for ways to help. Here was a child that was lost from where he ought to be, and everybody was stirred up about it. We were provoked. We were moved. We were motivated to do something. And it is my prayer to God that we will never grow to the point that we cannot be motivated by things like that. A hungry child, an abused child, or a lost child. But folks, what I've been talking about so far is dealing with physical things. And you know, one of these days when we meet God in the day of judgment, it won't really matter as far as our soul's concerned whether we've been hungry or not. It'll matter whether we fed the hungry. And it won't really matter whether we've been abused or not. Those little babies and children that have been abused and killed are safe in the arms of Jesus. Their souls were not bruised and their souls were not damaged. And it won't matter how sick we have been, how long we were sick, how serious that sickness was, or how traumatic or tragic the circumstances of our death may have been, although all those things really stir us up and motivate us and provoke us, none of those things are going to matter very much when we come to the day of judgment. You know what's happening is we're not allowing ourselves to be provoked by the right things. Oh, I'm not suggesting that we do anything less in any of these areas that we've discussed. If anything, let's do more. Let's do more to feed the hungry. Let's do more to protect the abused. Let's do more to find those that are lost and to find a cure for those that are sick. Let's not do any less in any of those areas. That's not the point at all. But there are some other areas where we need to do more. And where, if we're not careful, we're allowing ourselves, even in the church, to be brainwashed into the condition that we don't really stop and think about these matters. Let's go back and look at those three areas of thought and bring them from the physical over into the spiritual. There are people in the world today that are hungry for the gospel. Does that provoke us and stir us up? Perhaps in this congregation more so than in many, as evidenced by the mission work that we do and by the number of people that go out in different ways and at different times to preach the gospel. But what about the people that live on our own streets who are starving for the gospel? Some of them don't even know that they have spiritual malnutrition. How much do you and I think about that? How many times do we go through an entire week and never one time think about those who are hungry for the gospel or those who need to be fed the gospel and to see if we can do anything for it? I don't believe there's a person in this audience tonight who wouldn't go home and fix something to feed a hungry child if it were needed tonight, physically speaking. I have enough faith in the people that are here. I don't believe there's a one of you. If I were really hungry tonight and I needed something to eat, I don't believe there's a person in this audience who wouldn't do his best to feed me. Why do we not have that same kind of interest, spiritually speaking? There are people that are hungry for moral support and encouragement. And yet sometimes we're not very much provoked. We're not very much stirred up about that. I could stand up here tonight and tell you that there's somebody hungry physically and ask all of you to go do something about it. You'd rush after service is over. I can stand up here tonight and tell you that there's a family in the congregation who has a death in the family and they need some moral support over at the funeral home over here or out here. And very few are provoked by that, are moved by that. Why is it that we're not interested in those who need moral support? And those who need the spiritual food and need the spiritual encouragement and the spiritual help? Maybe we've just allowed ourselves to be trained that way. Let's think about that abuse point for just a moment. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know the teachings and passages such as Ephesians 6:4, Proverbs 22:6 that we've just looked at. And yet look at the dads and mothers today who are abusing their children spiritually. They're bruising their souls by bringing the wrong kind of materials into the home, bringing alcohol and other drugs into the home before their children and setting the wrong kind of example, and allowing their children to have no discipline and no interest in the Word of God. It provokes me to see a father and a mother who have no interest in their children. I've seen some in communities where I've lived that little boys and girls ran all over the community. And they didn't care about going home because they knew that their parents didn't care whether or not they came home. And if they came home, maybe would show little interest in them. Look at the parents today who don't have time to read from God's Word and to pray. I've had children tell me, I never saw my dad pray. I never saw my mother read from God's Word. And don't you know children who would say today, I've never been taken to Bible study and worship by my parents. Parents are abusing their children spiritually. Now, does that provoke us? Does that concern us? To where we try to do what we can? We have to respect the family unit. We have to respect the responsibilities that are there. But if a dad and mother were not feeding that little boy or girl, wouldn't you look for ways to get that little boy or girl some food to keep from being hungry? Because you're provoked by that. Now, in the same line of thought over in the spiritual area, if a dad and mother is not feeding their son or daughter the Word of God, why not look for ways? That may be inviting them to come to church with you. That may be inviting them into your home. Many of you mothers here, especially you younger mothers that are at home with your children, may be able to provide a service to other children in the community where you live who don't have mothers that'll teach them by asking them to come into your homes and telling them Bible stories, talking to them about spiritual things when you have the opportunity, using good judgment, of course, but taking advantage of that opportunity because you're concerned. Why are we not as concerned about spiritual matters? And then think about that person who's sick. We all think about it. We're all stirred up about it. We're all provoked. Think about the little child that's lost. Oh boy, we're ready to do everything that we can. That turns us on. That stirs us up. What about the person who's spiritually sick? What about the person who is spiritually lost? Sometimes we ask for people to come together to go out and hunt those who are lost. For example, as we're planning for our area-wide gospel meeting. I remember very well last year that we asked for all of those who could to meet here at our building on a certain Saturday before that meeting and go out and talk to people to get them to come. Talk to people who were lost. I think we had about four or five of our entire congregation who were there, only about 15 or 20 from the entire county of the congregations here. Now, if there had been an announcement made that there were some children lost and we were going to meet up here and form a search party and go out, how many people would have been here? What provokes us? What turns us on? What stirs us up? Look at the number of people that we have that are members of this congregation who have not been in this building in 2 years. Are we provoked by that? Are we stirred up? Are we concerned? Are we moved? I may not know some of them like you know them. You may not know some of them like I do. But do we even think about them? Do we pray about them? Are we concerned about the people who are sick and lost spiritually as much as we are those who are sick and lost physically? I suggest to you that it's time that we stopped and asked that question. What really provokes us? What really stirs us up? Is it just the physical matters or is it the spiritual matters? In Matthew 9:36, Jesus looked out over the city of Jerusalem. This is in the setting where he finally said that he would like to have brought them to him as a mother hen would her chickens, and they would not. But verse 36 says, he looked out over these people with compassion. But there's a word there that's a key word. It says he was moved with compassion. And that word moved is the same idea that we're discussing today. Jesus was moved. There are some things that move us. Move us in our emotions. Move us in our thinking. What is it? What provokes you? Let's be provoked by these physical problems and let's reach out to help people in any way that we possibly can. When we see somebody hurting, let's rally to do what we can to help. But folks, let's pray about this and let's think about it and let's study and let's act upon it. Let's learn to be provoked by those things that are of a spiritual nature and be stirred up to do more than we've ever done before to try to save those that are lost and to help heal those that are sick, spiritually speaking. We need to be provoked by the right thing and for the right reason. And when we are stirred up even to anger, and yet control it, and we're stirred up by the right thing and for the right reason, we can still act like Christians, and we need to be stirred up just a little bit in doing the Lord's work. What provokes you? The love of Christ, the fear of God, the desire of heaven, wanting to miss that other place. All of these are reasons that should provoke us to be Christians. If you need to be baptized into Christ tonight, those reasons ought to provoke you. If you need to be restored, those reasons ought to provoke you. There ought to be enough in the love of Christ, the fear of God, the desire for heaven, and wanting to miss the other place to provoke each one of us to be faithful Christians tonight. If you're not, we provoke you and encourage you and would try to stir you up to come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.